Team 1. Breach, breach, breach.
You're listening to Breach Your Mind. Hey guys, welcome back to Breach Your Mind. We we got an interesting guest with us tonight. Those of you who are watching and seeing the YouTube video will see the stand-in, I guess you could say, with Chris tonight. That's did you say his name was Fred?
Yeah, it's Fred. It's Fred. The wife had to name him. The wife had to name him.
It's Fred, the medical school alien. Yes. I don't think they've got the same parts, but maybe one day somebody will tell us. So today we're going to talk about something that I was inspired, I guess you'd say, probably a few years back. I don't really know exactly how far back it was, but I've always been the person to just kind of go with the flow. Didn't really take a whole lot of chances, wasn't really worried about taking chances, just kind of doing whatever. That was just who I was. It was comfortable. I knew it. So that's what I did. And I'd always had little ideas of things I'd like to do and different avenues I'd like to take, but I never knew how to do them. And I just kind of figured it would be impossible to do it anyway. So I never really went after it. And probably close to 10 years ago, I was in the gym working out, and you know, like a lot of people in the gym, I listened to music, and during this particular session, I was listening to something. It was just kind of some motivational stuff while I was working out, and wound up coming across somebody on this video, and I found out later on who it was. This guy by the name of Les Brown, which for those that don't know, and I didn't at the time, Les Brown is a motivational speaker. He's a former politician. He's got some other credit to his name, but he goes around the country now doing motivational speaking. And essentially the focus of his speeches is to get people motivated, get companies motivated, get people motivated to go after something. Whatever it is that they're wanting to do, it's getting them to go after it. So that's we're going to take that kind of role on it, because I had an experience that pushed me forward into something. And so this episode is going to be dedicated to taking chances. So the thing that I had heard Les Brown say, and I actually quoted it, and I'll read it now. It says, imagine, if you will, being on your deathbed and standing around your bed, the ghost of the ideas, the dreams, the abilities, the talents given to you by life. And that you, for whatever reason, you never acted on those ideas. You never pursued that dream. You never used those talents. You never saw your leadership. You never used your voice. You never wrote that book. And there they are standing around your bed, looking at you with large angry eyes, saying, we came to you. And only you could have given us life. Now we must die with you forever. So the question was, if you die today, what ideas, what dreams, what abilities, what talents, what gifts would die with you? So obviously there was some, you know, more motivational music along with it. And Les Brown says it far better than I could. But that really kind of sparked something in my head. You know, just kind of imagining laying there on my deathbed and seeing all the different versions of me that could have been, because of all the different ideas and things I wanted to try throughout life that I never acted on, standing there looking at me with just this disappointed look on their face because I never tried to bring them to life. And like I said, it really hit a chord with me. But even though it hit a chord, I didn't really act on it. It was something that, you know, I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I need to get on that. I need to get on that. But I was on a different path at that time. And so I never really acted on it. I stuck to what was normal. kept my same routines, did my job, so on and so forth. And that brings me to my own experience a few years ago. So a few years ago, and it may have been more than a few years, but a few years ago, one of my daughters wanted to audition for a nationally syndicated talent show. And I, you know, it wasn't my thing. I'm obviously not big on that. I say obviously, I'm sitting here making a YouTube video. But it wasn't my thing, but she was passionate about it. And I was like, all right, well, you know, if you want to do it, then you can fill out the application and do all the stuff that needs to be done, and whatever we got assigned, we'll do. And you need to put in the work. Do the work to go after what you want to do. You know, you want to be on this talent show, so be it. Put in the work so you have the chance. And she did. I mean, she practiced for months, trying to go through different songs, asking what we thought of different songs, and practice and practice and practice. And she finally found one, and she had her music all planned out, and she had her little thumb drive that had her music track on it, and she was ready to go. So we get dressed up, we go to what's that place, that one out there right there just at the South Carolina border, was that Hutchinson?
The convention center.
So they were doing it there at the convention center, and we go. And a whole different experience when you're on the set. I say on the set, behind the scenes of a nationally syndicated show. Things are a lot different than what you thought. But it was a whole new experience. And, you know, we were enjoying the time and the experience. So come down to it, and they would only let one person go in with my daughter. And my wife and I talked about it, and she said, well, why don't you just go ahead and go in with her? I said, okay. So we go in, and, you know, obviously my daughter was nervous because this is a huge step above and beyond what she was ever comfortable with. She wasn't even so much as sing in front of me on request, let alone close family and friends. She just wouldn't do it. She was scared to death, anxiety, the nine works, you know, she would not do it. And so this was a big thing for her to really be stepping up and trying to audition for this show. So we get in there, and nobody ever said anything to her at all. Excuse me. No one ever said anything to her at all about her music. You know, there was no, you know, hey, give us your music. None of this. That was just come in, sit down, and get ready. And that was a whole interesting experience too, because we got to see the back scene or the behind the scene auditions that went on. And there's some very interesting people. Like, I knew there were interesting people in this world, but there was some interesting people in that room. One lady completely blew me away. She looked like she was 80, 90 years old, and she come up and sang some song in Italian, and it was absolutely magnificent. I don't know if she got chosen or not. But then it come time for my daughter to get up and do her audition. Well, she's sitting there holding this thumb drive, and nobody said anything about it. And the only item in the room that could even play music from it was a radio sitting up on, or a stereo sitting up on the table with the judge. And it obviously did not appear that it could have a USB drive. So yeah, there was no background music. So now all the months of preparing that my daughter had done just went out the window, because she had prepared to use that music, to sing with the music. That was her tempo, that was her key, everything. And now all of a sudden, all of that was taken away. Everything she had there to support her, short of her own self and me, were now torn away from her. And she was essentially naked in front of everybody. So the judge gives her the nod, says, okay, whenever you're ready, go ahead. But he had a British accent, and I'm not doing that. And she sat there for a second, and I thought she was going to freeze, because again, she had stage fright, you know, she couldn't do it. But she started singing, and I didn't really know the song she picked. So I didn't know how she was going to sing it. And she started off real low, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh man, it's not going to go well. She's too shy. She's too bashful. And she's singing really low and, you know, it's just not going to go well. Well, about midway through what she was doing, all of a sudden she just belts out this one note real loud and just with every bit of confidence she had in it. And it was a note that she had been having problems with. She was going to her chorus teacher and trying to get him to help her with this particular note. And she just belts it out. And I mean, loud as she could. And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing to hear her go from this soft tone to belting out this note that was kicking her butt essentially the whole time she was practicing, and then finish out so strong. And you know, that's when I realized, okay, well, that was the design of the song. It was meant to start off and kind of get you in the, you know, the slow roll and then just kind of bust through the door on you. And her performance completely floored me. She didn't get chosen. And I was, you know, I was a bit surprised by that, especially considering some of the other people that were in the room. But that being said, I'm also her dad, so I'm sure there was some bias in there. But she didn't get chosen. But when we walked out, the look on her face, you know, it was truly surprising. And while I was hugging her and telling her how proud of her I was, I told her, I said, whether you get chosen for this stupid show or not is irrelevant. The mere fact that you got up there in front of so many people and you sang that song the way you did, and you sang it a cappella, you already won. There's no talent show that's going to give you that feeling right there, because you already won. And it was simply because she chose to conquer her fear and put herself out there. She took that chance and put herself out there. So weeks went by, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought back to what I heard Les Brown saying in that motivational video while I was working out. How many, at my age at the time, how many dreams and ideas and things that I wanted to do or thought about doing, how many of those were standing around me, tapping me on the shoulder going, hey man, you know, right here, give us a shot. And I hadn't done anything about it. And I had a lot of reasons why I didn't do anything about it. A lot of the reasons why not to do anything was ultimately fear. I'm used to small town life, if you want to call that where we live. I'm used to small town life. I'm used to knowing everything around me and being able to control a lot of things around me. And doing something of these ideas that I had, it wasn't comfortable. I was worried about other people's opinion. I was worried about my friends' opinion, my family's, my coworkers. I was worried about their opinion, and I never did it. So I said, you know what? It's time to stop caring about what everybody else thinks and what everybody else wants. And I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it at least once for myself, just to see if I could do it. And that was when I started writing. And I wrote a couple of things that wasn't anything major. Wound up finding out how to do the self-publishing thing. And I've since been told that it's obvious my writing is amateur, which I'm okay with, because I are amateur. But it was amateur, and you know, there wasn't enough editing and yada, yada, yada. I'm not a book guy. So the book snobs really kind of hit me on that one. And understandably so. It's an art form, and I thought I was just going to jump into it. I love telling stories. I'm good at telling stories. I do this better than I can write it down. Minus the, you know, poor vocabulary and, you know, stupid look on my face. But so that's what I did. That was the first step. And since then, it's been one hobby after the next. And I say hobby, it's been one idea, one passion after the next since then. There's things that I do now, which includes this podcast, even so much as the YouTube videos that I now do, because I never know. I never know until I try. Chris, you remember when, it's hard because the picture's here in the camera. You remember when we were talking on the phone before you jumped on and started co-hosting with me? I even told you it's going to be a little while. I would like to start doing the YouTube videos. I would like starting putting videos out there to go along with the podcast. But I told you then that, you know, the videos would probably be a while. I didn't want to put my face on camera. I don't like the camera. The camera does not like me. I'm not comfortable with it. And on top of that, once the camera's on and once we put the video on YouTube or wherever it gets put out to, now all of a sudden you can associate a face with the voice. And now you can see who I am. And I just wasn't comfortable with it. I would much rather just have my voice being heard if I had to do anything than the video portion. But as fortune would have it, this is kind of a necessary thing in our day and age. You know, it helps broaden your scope. It broadens your audience. There's a lot of people that don't just listen to podcasts. I'm a guy, I'm not big on just listening to a podcast. I do better with something else. So I listen to podcasts via YouTube. And that's, you know, the whole reason for doing the videos now is because it's another avenue to get the same information and the same message out there that otherwise wouldn't be available if all we did was the video. Obviously, some of the earlier videos, that was a little different story. But with those earlier videos, you know, I put up a couple of pictures and put the podcast to it. You just watched a couple of pictures, scroll across your screen and then freeze and then listen to podcast. And looking at the analytics on those videos, has not a whole lot of people watched them. But, you know, it is what it is. So that's kind of my take. As far as getting this conversation going, is just, you know, I had the same ideas. I had dreams and ideas and I was scared to jump on them. And it took my teenage daughter at the time to conquer a huge fear of her own for me as a grown adult man to do the same thing. And here we are. So, now that I've said all that, Chris, what you got? You had any experiences that's, like that?
No, I haven't. But I kind of want to go back and I didn't realize. I obviously remember when she did that. Because obviously you and I talked about it, and you were excited about it. I know she was excited about it. But I didn't realize that that was like the catalyst.
Yeah,
to your, I don't want to say obsession of hobbies, but it's a good word because you do become, you become so engrossed in whatever the flavor of the month for you is, you know, whether it, and I kind of want to go back to your writing. I mean, you published a book, you put it out there, which
yeah.
I know it was outside of your comfort zone, and you kind of took that leap of faith and you said, you know, screw it, I'm going to do it and whatnot. But the big one is, and I remember this one mostly because I read it, was the one that was issued it was some like police, you know what I'm talking about. They, you know what I'm talking about.
Which one? You said you read it. Which one?
Oh, was it about disconnect?
Was it about what?
Disconnect in leadership?
You're talking about the blogs I was doing.
Yes, but it was the one that got published by the police.
Yeah, the Facebook thing.
Yeah, the Facebook thing. You remember that?
That was a leadership one. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, I mean, it was.
Did you send that one to me when you found it?
Yes. Yeah. Fuck yeah, I did. I remember that one. And I wish I could go back and find it and read it.
I'm glad you can't.
I know, but I wish I could. You know. But I didn't realize that she, you know, taking that chance on herself was the catalyst to everything. You know, your writing, your woodworking, your drone shit, the podcast. I mean, dude, like, you've got all kinds of hobbies that are not like the normal, not, I wouldn't say normal, that are like, you know, what everybody else does. Everybody else, you know, goes hunting and fishing and they go mudding in their Jeeps, you know, you know, like
I think you just aggravated half of Southeast Georgia.
Well, I mean, it's true. It's freaking true. I mean, go dirt road riding in our buggies, you know, like, you know, you build shit, dude. Like, you can take a piece of wood and like craft this. I mean, you built a bed. I mean, you've done all kinds of stuff. I'm pretty sure you built a crib. Didn't you build a crib for one of your grandkids?
Yeah.
I mean, you've done all kinds of stuff, and I know how hard you work at that stuff, and you're proud of it. Yeah. And I always think it turns out super nice. Now I know that you're a huge critic.
No, I think it all looks like garbage.
Yourself and everybody. Yeah, I know. Everybody's a critic of their damn self, which drives me nuts. Cause you know, if I get out of bed in the morning, I'm proud of myself. So it's, you know, anything that you do, I'm like, damn, Brian, that's freaking nice. Like, way to go. Like that turned out great. But I also know all the hard work that you put into it, the hours in your shop, AKA your garage that can't fit a freaking car in it because it's got so much shit.
Yeah.
You know,
there's that.
What was the other thing? Beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it moonshine?
It's what? No, it's not moonshine. It's mead. So honey wine. Yeah. I'm making wine in my closet. Hey, it's got some good reviews, man. So
I didn't that's kind of what I wanted to touch on. I had no idea that it was her that
yeah.
That's pretty freaking awesome, dude.
Yeah,
like, I didn't know that.
You know, on one hand it was a little humbling, if you will, that it took my teenage daughter to get me motivated to get off my butt and actually do something. Because some of the stuff I'd, you know, kind of dabbled with, but I didn't make any big deal out of. But it was sitting there thinking, you know, if my teenage daughter can go out here and conquer her stage fright, because I have the same thing. Maybe not to her extent, but if I have to get up in front of people and talk, I get anxiety. You know, I ain't gonna say, like, if I'm comfortable with you, it's not that way, but
I was about to say, I have a hard time believing that because I can't get you to shut the hell up.
Like I said, if I'm comfortable with you, it's fine. But if I have to get up in front of a bunch of people that I don't know, like the heart rate goes up, you know, the body temp goes up. And it's because I really just don't want to be there. And
you know, that's like one of the top three biggest fears of like everybody in the world.
Yeah.
Like seriously, like the percentage of people that are more afraid of public speaking than they are of anything else is astronomical.
Yeah. No, I completely get it. I completely get it. Having done it, you know, I've had to do a couple of interviews before because of work, and one, you never notice when you're watching. You've never noticed when you watch TV, especially the news, how close they get that camera to your face. That thing's like right here, and they're like, just talk normally. Like, dude, do you realize what I do for a living? Like,
One time, Beck's grandma called me and goes, I think I just saw Brian on the TV. I was like, oh, did you? And I looked at it, I was like, it is Brian.
Yeah, I've been caught on one of the local news stations. They caught me on camera turning and walking away from the camera. Like they panned over to where some of us were standing and I happened to look over and see it at the same time. It was, oh, let me get out of here.
Brutalicious.
I had one person recognize me just by watching they couldn't see my face, like all the details, but they could see me chewing gum. And they were like, I knew that was you by the way your jaw was aggressively chewing. I'm like, how do you aggressively chew?
But the exact way you chew, the Starburst gum that you chew.
It's delicious, okay? I like flavor. You know, I don't want to breathe icicles every time I freaking chew gum. But no, I completely get it, you know. Just like I just said, and you and I've talked about it when we were talking about the podcast. you're sitting there with this camera right here in your face. And literally the only thing I can think, I can't think about what I'm supposed to be talking about because I'm too busy going, don't say, don't say, don't say, and, are fillers for not knowing what to say. It's to kill dead space. And we do it a lot. You know, I went back when I do the editing for the podcast, I thought about editing out all the uhs and ums from both of us.
Now leave that shit.
Well, I'm going to have to. There's literally, you know how, you've already told you how long I spend editing. And if I were to sit there and try to cut out all the uhs, ums, I'd never get it done. It would take me 2 weeks to process one podcast because we both have so many ums and uhs in what we say.
Yeah.
So now I'm thinking about it. Now I'm thinking about don't say
Way to go, you big dummy.
But so yeah, it was her that spurred it on. And now that I'm doing them more, as far as the different hobbies, different ideas, I don't feel as pressed about it. And regardless if that hobby turns into something successful or not, and I'll talk about something else about that in a second, but whether it turns out to be something successful or not is irrelevant. It's irrelevant in the sense of I at least tried. I at least did something that somebody else was too afraid to step up and do. And you'd never know who else out there could be, you know, the next Joe Rogan, the next Jocko. You have no idea who could be those next individuals to take, you know, podcasting or broadcasting or whatever it happens to be. It doesn't even have to do with any of this, but you never know who the next one that it possibly could be because they're too busy being scared to take a chance on themselves. And that's really what it is. You're taking a chance on yourself. That's what this is. And I wanted to go back real quick on me talking about success. And I've talked about it with, I think, someone face-to-face before. I don't think it was anything on a podcast, but I got asked what I thought success was as far as, you know, how do you know that your podcast, your movie, your show, your book, your whatever, your personal business, how do you know it's successful? It really determines on what you value success in. You know, if your goal is money, then what's your dollar amount to be successful? That's how you determine success. With me, you know, obviously in some of the things that I have done, money is a portion of it. Cause I mean, who doesn't want to work for themselves and be able to make money, enough money to live on, to pay your bills on, to pay for insurance? You know, who doesn't want to do that? I said in one of the earlier podcasts that when my brother and I decided to start our own business, it was because we were tired of putting money in somebody else's pocket. And in the private sector, if you're an employee of somebody, that's exactly what you're doing. Now, I'm not saying anything bad about your employer. Your employer could be one of the greatest employers on the face of the planet and pay you tons of money. And that's great. Good. You know, I'm happy that you've got that. But every bit of what you do is putting money in somebody else's pocket. And that's not a bad thing. We need laborers in our society. We need people to do labor in our world. I am still a laborer. The only difference is I'm not putting money in anybody's pocket. I'm okay with that. So it really depends on how you measure success and whether or not what you're doing is successful. And in terms of like this podcast, I don't know what your definition, Chris, of successful would be, but in my mind, the way I see this podcast as being something that's successful is if it helps somebody. You know, obviously it'd be nice if there was money coming in and, you know, we could wind up, you know, doing this full time and really start to turn this into something bigger and broader and better than what we started out with. But the goal is to help people. The goal of the podcast is to help people get through tough situations that we may or may not have experienced in our lives, and help impart some of the wisdom, knowledge, and experience that we learned when we went through it or going through it onto somebody else to help them. So in my mind, if we help at least just one person, we've been successful, because the goal to me is to help somebody. So if that works, then we're successful. The podcast was successful, and taking the chance of doing this, and even so much as, you know, trying to conquer my own fear of, you know, being on camera and putting myself out there on the internet for other people to see. If all of that helps at least one person, then we're successful. What would you say success would be? Well, regardless if it's this podcast or anything else that you may go after.
No, success in my opinion is really hard to measure. Mm-hmm. It's like you said, it's one of those things where you have to be able to determine what your definition of success is, and where you want to see whatever you're doing, where you want to see it grow to or become. But it's really hard for me to put like a actual, like, hey, this is how you measure success. Because first of all, I've never succeeded anything in my life ever. So we'll that's disagree. Pretty cool. Okay. Well, we can agree to disagree, but, that's either here nor there. No, to touch on what you said about this podcast and how we do it. Honestly, I get to spend a couple hours out of my day talking to my best friend about whatever that we're talking about. And if for whatever reason somebody decides to turn this on and say, hey, I'm going to listen to Brian and Chris just jabber on about whatever for an hour, and we bring something up and it hits home for somebody, I'm good with that. Even if it's just like you said, if it's one person,
yeah,
you know, but to even if there isn't anybody, if nobody listens to this episode, I got to spend an hour and a half with you talking, and we don't get to do that much anymore. No, we just don't. No, you know, we used to be able to do it. Just
text messages here and there and a phone call every once in a while.
So, I mean, you know, we used to be able to talk all the time. We can't do it anymore. You know, we work opposite shifts. We, mm-hmm. you know, we're 7.5 hours away from each other. I mean, I'm not trying to get all romantic, but it's nice to be able to sit here and have an hour conversation with you and talk about a topic that we decide on. And if somebody listens to it and says, hey, I like what they got to say today,
yeah,
I'm good with it. You know, I'm not worried about monetizing anything. I mean, that's the nice thing about this is it's a hobby,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if it grows into something more, fantastic, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm not trying to put you up on a pedestal or anything. You're not going to be the next Jocko by any means, Brian.
No, but no. Anyways, I understand this. You know, I know my limits.
Yeah, but I'll be your Robin, you know, no big deal. So we just need a Jamie. We need a Joe Rogan Jamie.
yeah. Someone to handle the social media aspect and.
Yeah, and the editing. And
I don't mind the editing so much, but.
You got to find somebody to do that.
All of the different social media platforms and trying to, like one of the videos I tried to put on TikTok today, they muted the sound on it. I have content rights to every bit of music that I put into our podcast, but for some reason it heard too many notes of the music in one of the clips and they muted the audio on it. So now I'm trying to figure out how I can still get them, because that clip was a really good clip. I'm still trying to figure out how I can get it back on there. And right now it's being a royal pain in the butt trying to do. But I mean, between TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and then the Buzzsprout and all of the different platforms. I forgot to say, and I'll say it now. We're listed on Amazon Music, by the way. Our podcast is actually listed on Amazon Music. I come across that the other day when someone, or yesterday, as a matter of fact, when someone was asking me where they could find the podcast. And I was like, man, GTS, Just Google that shit. It's there. and you like that? I Googled it and I'm sitting there scrolling through and up popped the Amazon Music thing. I'm like, dude, we made it on Amazon. That's cool. I mean, obviously people that do this all the time, they're like, yeah, it's easy to get listed on Amazon. It's just putting your crap in there. But yeah, I'm a big dumb animal from Southeast Georgia. I'm on Amazon. You know, yeah. What? I don't care. I'm on Google and Apple too. That's like 18 platforms, by the way. But I really have no idea where I was going with any of that.
It's all right. You got excited about Amazon.
Yeah, I like Amazon.
You got excited about it. I saw it, like your face lit up, but you hadn't told me yet.
Yeah, I'd forgotten. I meant to tell you yesterday.
Yeah, no, you didn't tell me about that.
Anyway, get back on topic. So in talking about the taking chances and doing everything like that, obviously you're going to have failures along the way. If you're someone that is truthful and knowledgeable of yourself, you're going to find that you've got a ton of ideas out there and not every one of them is going to be a success based on what you classify as success for that particular thing. You know, just like we said for the podcast, for me, it's if we're able to help somebody. For Chris, it's spending some time talking with me, and the offshoot of that is if we're able to help somebody. That's success to us when it comes to this podcast. You know, say you're somebody that wanted to start your own business. You know, starting your own business is something that can be really tough. It's not easy, especially in today's times. You and I both have a friend that they really want, what they would really like is to have, I don't want to say it's a cafe, it's kind of like a diner kind of thing. This person would really like to have a diner, and it's something that they feel in their core that they'd really think it would be nice to have their own diner. And at one point we actually discussed, and I gave them some resources on, look, if this is something you want to do, this is some avenues for resources and some paperwork you got to fill out, da 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 da, and so on. This is something that you could go after. And as it stands at the moment, this person's idea has not come to fruition. But if it's something they want to do, and if it's something they're willing to take a chance on themselves for, what's stopping them? You know, what's stopping them? So what I'm getting at, as far as not every idea is going to be successful, where I want to get to on that particular topic is just the mere fact of there's going to be setbacks. And I'm going to call them setbacks because, in my opinion, you only fail at something when you don't try. I actually jotted something down and said, failing at something is not failure. Failing to try is failure. And that's something that I really, truly feel. I've told my kids, you know, all of my kids, when they're going through school, I'm not worried about you making all A's. Would it be nice? Certainly. But I'm not worried about you making all A's. What I'm worried about is you trying your best. That you try your best. And if the best you can do is a C, is a B, then I'll accept that. I'm going to try to help you do better. But if that's the best you can do, then I'm going to accept it. But I want you to try. So in that particular circumstance, I'm already laying the groundwork for my children. At least try. If you at least try, you haven't failed. You haven't failed. And one of the things that I came across, you know, obviously in my time, as well as in preparing for the podcast, was, and I'd heard it before, so I went to look it up tonight just to make sure I got it right. But it said, Thomas Edison had 1,000 failed attempts at creating a light bulb. So the incandescent light bulb that we all use, with the exception of people that have moved over to all the other bulbs, but the incandescent light bulb, Thomas Edison tried 1,000 times to make that light bulb, to make the Edison light bulb. And when he was asked by a reporter, you know, what's it feel like to know that you failed at making a light bulb 1,000 times? His quote to that reporter was, "I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps." That's pretty profound. His assistant during that time even said they had, it was 2000. So they went through 2000 elements, 2000 different elements to make the filament, the little wire in the light bulb that lights up, 2000 different elements to make that filament. And they all failed. And his assistant basically said, you know, all of our hard work, it was for nothing. We don't know anything. We got absolutely nothing but 2,000 failed elements. They said, that's where you're wrong. We've learned a lot. We know a whole lot more than we know now. We now know that there are 2,000 elements that do not make a good light bulb. It's your perspective. It's trying and your perspective on it. So if you at least try to take a chance on yourself, if you take a chance and you try for one of these goals, one of these dreams on your talent, on leadership, if you try, then you haven't failed. You've succeeded far beyond so many other people for the sheer fact that you tried. You took the chance and you tried. You rolled the dice on yourself. You flipped the coin, whatever you want to call it. You took the chance on yourself, and that in and itself is a success. You've already won just by the sheer fact that you took a chance. Because how many other people do you know won't do it? Chris, I've seen it. I've had the conversation earlier this week with a couple of people, and I would venture to say that you've seen it as well. But how many people do we work with, or how many other law enforcement officers have we seen? They've got so much potential, so much potential. And if they would just pull their head together, if they would put their head and their efforts in the right direction, they'd be unstoppable. They'd be amazing cops if they would just put that focus and that direction in the right area. I like I said, I had that conversation with somebody earlier this week, that a particular person, they've got so much potential, but they can't get out of their own way to be successful at what they want to be successful at. And they're trying hard to be successful, but they haven't put in the work yet to get out of their own way. You know, we see it all the time. It's just a matter of taking a chance. Get out of your comfortable zone. Get out of what makes you feel safe and comfortable. Lean on your support structure, but take a chance. Roll the dice on yourself. You know, it's a lottery that if you at least try, you're not going to lose. You're not going to lose that lottery, because even if what you tried, you decide, you know what, this ain't for me. It's not what I thought it was going to be, or I don't want to do the work to get to where I got to get with this. It doesn't matter. It's not a failure because you tried. Am I wrong in any of that?
No. I mean, I have my entire life, at least my adult life, has all been kind of just, I'm going to take this chance. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. You know, obviously, I didn't go down the traditional route that the vast majority of my peers went down. Obviously, you know, my generation, there were a lot more that joined the military than, you know, in years past, but it still wasn't the traditional path. And it by no means was my first choice. I obviously had no idea what I was going to do. And so I had to take that leap of faith, and I took that chance. I said, you know what, it's now or never. So I jumped on it.
Right.
And I enlisted. I took that chance. Best decision I ever made. Wouldn't change it for anything. I mean, it's really,
I can say that the military at that point in my life made me who I am today at 29 years old. Right. Because it put me down, it shot me back down the right path in life instead of going the opposite way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which of course I was leaning towards. I mean, shit, I was 17, 18 years old and didn't have any direction, you know? So.
Didn't know your butt from a hole in the ground?
Exactly. I knew nothing. And then when I got out of the military, I had no clue what I was going to do. And I had to take that. I had to take a chance again on myself. And I put myself through the academy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, and that alone, getting out of the military alone was scary because it was the only thing I ever knew.
Yeah.
But I also knew in my heart of hearts, it was time for me to separate from the military because I wasn't feeling it anymore. It wasn't where I wanted to, you know, continue going down that path.
Right.
So I had to find something. So, and I took that jump and I found something that I'm very passionate and I love doing every day. So, and then when it comes to failing, what haven't I failed at? I mean, I've failed at stuff in the military. I failed at stuff in law enforcement. I mean, life is about, life is about failures because you learn from it.
Yeah, there's setbacks.
I mean, you grow from them. You can't be afraid of them. I am like one of the best failures. Like I'm freaking awesome at failing. I tell myself that all the time. I really do. I'm dead ass serious. I tell myself all the time, and my wife gets so mad. No, you're not. Yes, the hell I am. Yes, the hell I am. And I think I told my dad that one time. My dad laughed, because he's right up there for top failures ever. And I mean he is, but he's a three-time loser. Yeah, I mean
you remember we put this thing out, right?
I don't care.
Okay. Just make a sure. Shit.
He is. He knows that. He says that about himself.
Yeah, but it's a little different.
No, it's not.
Okay. Hey.
Listen. You worry about what you say and I'll worry about what I say. How about that?
I'm good with it, man. I'm good with it.
How about that? But he laughed at me and he said, you know, that's how you learn. That's how you grow.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to take it from the champ. I got to take that advice.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. So I 100% agree with you. Just do it. Don't hesitate. Just take that chance on yourself. And that's what you're doing. You're taking a chance on yourself.
Yep.
It's not for anybody else. It's not.
Nah.
And if you don't, you'll regret it. You'll regret it. And that would be the worst, is to say, you know, look back, you know, 40 years from now and your grandkids say, you know, hey, grandpa or hey, grandma, what did you do or what didn't you do? And then you got to go look back and say, oh, shit, I didn't do this. I didn't take that chance. And I wonder what could have happened with that.
Yeah.
So. And sometimes it may not be feasible. It's nice to have dreams. You know, everybody's got dreams. And yeah, sometimes certainly. They're, you know, sometimes it's, you can't reach them, you know, but you got to have them.
Mm-hmm.
You got to try to work towards them.
Yeah, it's what gives you motivation. It's what pushes you.
Yeah. That's why I love the gym, too. I fail at the gym all the time. Like, I always, like, I look at some weight and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to lift that shit. And I don't.
I did not fail the other day, by the way.
You didn't?
No, shoulders. I think it was 445s on each side for the shrug machine. I was quite proud of myself.
I noticed that your neck was looking a little bigger.
It's beefy.
You're looking thick with C's, with like four or five C's at the end.
Oh my God, I heard somebody say that today. Thick with three C's, or three, no, they said thick with four C's. Yeah. My brain couldn't process it because apparently I was having a squirrel moment and I thought it was thick as in T-H-I-C-K and then 4C as in F-O-R-S-E-E. So I was like,
nah, boy, it's T-H-I-C-C-C-C-C.
Yeah, I get that. Thick. But at the time it didn't process. So I heard thick with four C's. So I was like, thick with four C. What? What is that supposed to mean?
And why can I just see you like in the back parking lot, like pondering that?
It was a similar situation. It was after training. We're standing around shooting the crap, and it was like thick with four C's. And I was like,
I'm wondering who said that.
It's irrelevant.
I'm wondering who said that.
It's irrelevant. The person that said it probably doesn't even listen to this, so
that's fine.
But yeah, it took a second. I'm gonna say that it was because we were, you know, out in the sun for hours and my brain wasn't processing it. But
it happens.
It does, especially to me.
Yes, it does. Yes.
All right. What else?
You got anything else?
Nah, man, just freaking try. I can't emphasize that enough. It's truly, to me, it's truly sad to see how many people will waste the potential they have in themselves just because they don't want to take a chance on themselves. It's a sad sight to see. And I say that now only because I've taken that step. And I think in the blog post that I had written about this particular topic, I called it taking a leap. It's a leap of faith on yourself. You know, if you've got something that you're passionate about, if you got something that you want to see what it can become, then give yourself that chance. You know, take a chance on yourself to make that dream come to life. And like Les Brown said, you know, don't let all of these ideas be standing around you on your deathbed, looking at you and scowling at you, saying only you could have given us life, but now we must die with you. You know, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the one that's sitting there looking at all the dreams or thinking about all the ideas and dreams that I had throughout my entire life. I don't want to be that guy. You know, all of these things that I could have tried or could have done, I don't want them to die. And even if it's something that doesn't become successful in my time, it could be something that someone else could pick up the mantle on and pick up the torch and make it something more. You know, I fully expect, and you can hate me for it if you want, but I fully expect that if something were to happen to me tomorrow, you would keep doing this because you're a part of this now.
Yeah. What I would do is I would take your face.
Yeah.
Like a picture of it, and I'd cut it out and I'd put it on Fred. I swear to God, I would.
I'm gonna make the suggestion that if you put my face on Fred, there's gonna be some alterations that need to be made that are not anatomically correct. So
oh, no, I was gonna say he's not putting pants on.
It's not anatomically correct.
We won't get into this right now.
But no, I mean, even if it's not something that's successful in my time, you know, I'm hoping that the things that I do can wind up being that way. And I hope that everybody else can. I would love to see everybody that I personally know, I would love to see them take that chance on themselves at least once. Because I know for me, all it took was that one time. It took that one time of me taking that chance on myself, me deciding, you know what, I'm going to learn how to self-publish a book. I'm going to write my own book and I'll put it out there. And it was nerve-wracking because it wasn't just a matter of writing it, publishing it, and then putting it out there on Amazon to sell. It was, well, you got to get your name out there. So you have to do some advertising. You've got to get some exposure. So here I was on my personal social media accounts. Hey, I wrote a book and here's where it is. So now anybody that, you know, I'd followed or friended on these social media apps, they could all see, oh, well, Brian's done this. Let's just go see. Now I'm being judged by these people. Fortunately for me, I developed the determination that I just don't care what you think. Don't mean that in a bad way. I have to like me. No one else has to like me. I don't want you to dislike me, mind you, but at the same time, I'm at least taking a chance. And the only people I ever heard anything negative out of about it were people that, in my personal opinion, were too cowardly to take a chance for themselves. They said negative things about it just because they were simply jealous that I was doing something that they didn't have the guts to do themselves. And it maybe not have been about writing. It may have been about something else in their life. I don't know. And that's their problem. But that was that one time, me getting past that anxiety is what was the catalyst for everything else. You know, like you said, the woodworking and everything else that I seemed to find to pick up to decide to do. That was the catalyst. That's the reason why I can do it now. You know, do I still have some anxieties and things like that on stuff? Certainly. You know, like we were discussing here, I keep saying because my brain can't process what I need to say next in a proper manner. So it goes, you know, and that's something that I have to work on. But, you know, I've still got all of that stuff, but I'm trying. I'm taking the chance. I'm putting myself out there for the world to see and the world to judge, just to try to help somebody. And Chris, you're the same, you know. I know at least in our social circle, you're not bashful about talking, but I can imagine that this is a little different.
No.
No, this is completely okay for you.
No, dude, I thought you knew this. Like, dude, I took 4 years of speech and debate in high school. It was like the only class in high school that I gave a shit about.
That's literally nothing we ever talked about.
No, okay. Well, yeah, I took 4 years of it. I can get up in front of a room of 1,000 people and really don't bother me.
That's horrible. I don't even want to think about doing that.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Oh.
Well, but I had like years of it. I will say, you know, in the beginning, even on this, I noticed that I was like a little nervous with like the first few words that I said on this.
Mm-hmm.
In the first episode, I was like, oh man, I'm getting all dry mouth. What the hell's going on with me? But then I snapped myself out of it. It's not a big deal. But public speaking has never been an issue for me.
Whatever.
I mean, have you seen me though?
Oh my god. we're gonna do this now?
No, okay. We're not. We don't have enough time. Okay. I was up at 3 o'clock this morning. I we don't have enough time to get into all that.
I went to bed at 5 this morning and got up at 8, so well 9.
Why'd you?
I was doing podcast stuff. That's why when you're like, hey, man, 3:30's catching up. I'm like tired. I was like, that's cute. I was up until 5 this morning and got 4 hours of sleep, if that, doing podcast stuff. I'm tired. I'm old.
Yeah, you are.
I should be drinking.
That's why you don't need as much sleep.
Yeah, that's no. Entirely what it is.
That's what I heard. I heard old people don't sleep.
We don't. It's because we're too busy accomplishing things while the rest of y'all are sleeping.
Hey, I need my beauty sleep.
Oh, well, your beauty sleep works, sir. You've got the face of a child.
I know.
And the body of one too.
I know that too. I'm well aware that I look like a 12-year-old boy. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Had to take a little of that ego shot. You're welcome.
Yeah,
that's fine. I'm here. I'm the anti-dad for a reason.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Well, I'm not going to keep you much longer, and these folks those that are listening have listened long enough to us be retarded on this thing. So, guys, we appreciate it. We appreciate the time. We appreciate everything you guys do and say, negative or otherwise. We appreciate it. Don't forget, like I said earlier, we're on multiple platforms as far as podcasting goes, where you can download and listen to the podcast. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, TikTok. There's a bunch. I'll try to get a better list out there, but we're on multiple platforms. Please don't hesitate. Reach out to us. There's a lot of things that we go through in this life. There's a lot of situations that we're going to come across in this life. And it's nice to get advice or a different perspective from somebody else. And that's what Chris and I are hoping to do for you. We're hoping to kind of give you that little different perspective. So we, again, we appreciate it. We appreciate all the time. And, till then, be safe. And
yeah. Give us a like, write us a review on whatever podcast, program that you're, whatever you listen to us on too. That helps out a lot too.
Yes. Yes. That definitely helps out with the search stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, guys, we appreciate it. And as always, be safe, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye.